So we're in the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus. So let's see. I've got a handout for Exodus. All right. Exodus chapter 18. We're going through the book of Exodus. 18, chapter verse 1, all the way through verse 12. Exodus chapter 18. All right, Bible open, we'll look here. Exodus chapter 18, I'll read verse 1. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Our Father, we pray that you bless us. Thank you for the passage at hand. We pray that you help us to grow in the knowledge of this truth and make the application as well. Thank you for the privilege to have the Word of God and be able to study it on a regular basis on Sunday and Wednesday. Pray that you bless our efforts, we ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we have in the whole chapter here, we're not going to go through all this, but we have a simple outline there. But in the heading paragraph there, the Lord orchestrated more help for his divinely appointed leader, Moses. So the Lord appoints leaders, Old Testament, New Testament. So he appoints leaders who had been criticized and rejected by the hard-hearted people of Israel. Right, so the chapter may be organized around four major divisions. First of all, the first six verses have to do with the reunion of Moses' family. Secondly, the review of Moses' victories, 7 through 12. He talks to Jethro about reviewing his victories. Thirdly, the recommendation of Jethro. Jethro makes a significant recommendation here, and then finally the return of Jethro as he goes home. All right, so we have these four divisions in the chapter. So it's a great value, I think, especially in the narrative, but in all of Scripture, try to understand the major units of any chapter. So, of course, the Bible wasn't written originally in the Old Testament or New Testament in chapters and divisions. It's just one long book here. And so yet different topics show up. So there's value to try to organize. So what are we talking about in this passage? We're talking about somebody named Jethro. All right, so that helps us out somewhat. So anyway, we look here. So we find out at the outset of this, Jethro was the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, so he's a relative, obviously, to Moses, and so on. So apparently Moses had sent his wife and two sons back to Midian to fetch Jethro. So Moses now is in the wilderness, and he's left Egypt, and so he had served 40 years for Jethro, in the wilderness area there, around Mount Sinai. And now he sends his family back, and they want to gather their father and come back. So Moses sent his wife and two sons back to Midian to fetch Jethro. His also name is Reuel. So he had two names, as many characters in the Bible had two or more names. Initially, Moses had met Jethro when he fled Egypt and served him 40 years. So this is what the book of Acts tells us, served there 40 years. And so remember, for the first 40 years of his life, he was in the Pharaoh's palace and knew all about the Egyptians here. And then the Lord called him by the burning bush. And so he tried to prematurely straighten out Jews and Egyptians, and the king chased them out, so he spent the next 40 years in the wilderness. So he's a big shot there in Egypt for 40 years, and then he's a low shot, you might say, obviously big shot, low shot, there in the wilderness. So the Lord humbled him, had to humble him. And he spent some time there. So in the meantime, Moses married Zipporah, one of the seven daughters of Jethro. So that's back there in chapter 2 when he fled. So Jethro was the priest of Midian and benefited from Moses in two ways. Namely, in taking him in as his son-in-law, and then in advising him about delegation of authority over people, over the people. So the lineage of Jethro was through Abraham's wife Keturah and son Midian, the Shemites, but not Hebrews. All right, so he was the great-great-grandson of Abraham. So think of that, Abraham. So he probably knew about Abraham's believing on the Lord and it's kind of done to him righteousness and Abraham's trip here into the promised land eventually. So he's related to Abraham and the great-great-grandson of Abraham. Jethro learned about the great miracles that the Lord God had done through Moses for Israel and delivered them from Egypt. So let's look back to the text here. We see in 18:2, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, remember he sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of one was Gershom, and he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, said he, was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness where he had encamped at the Mount of God. So Sinai or Horeb. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee and thy wife and her two sons with her. All right, so in this we have their meeting. They're meeting together here. And so, as I mentioned here, he sent Zipporah and Gershom and Eliezer back to Moses. So these names were significant. For instance, I've already told you this, the name of Moses' sons through Zipporah. So Zippor is the word for bird, and the ah ending is female, so we might label her Lady Bird. Zipporah, that's the name. I'm going to name my wife after a bird, or after a bird. She's the bird, the Lady Bird, all right? Literally what it means, all right? And her sons were Gershom, so the Ger part of that means stranger in Hebrew. And so he makes a pun on his name back in verse 3 of chapter 18. Name of one was Gershom in a strange land. So the word Ger and strange are puns here. And so Gershom the stranger. Because Moses was an alien, Ger, in a strange land. The second son, Eliezer, means God is help. So notice Eliezer. So the E-L part of his name is the Hebrew word for El or God. And then I is usually a pronoun thrown in there, my God. Ezer would be the word for help. So Eliezer means God is help. All right, so more puns here. So Moses names his children after his situation in life. I'm in a strange land and I need help. So I have two sons. I'm going to name them after these points. And because God was help, who delivered him from the sword of Pharaoh. So now they are reunited here. Jethro brought the family of Moses to him in the wilderness at the Mount of God. So the Mount of God. The Mount of God has two names. So we see these names, Sinai or Horeb. So in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, Horeb, that's where he saw the burning bush. So remember, he's out there with the flock and so on. And he's in the area of Mount Sinai or Horeb. And we have the the burning bush there, and the Lord calls him to this place to serve him and so on. And so now he's back at the same place. So here we see he's back to where the Lord had called him. So a significant place where Moses kept the flock of Jethro and met with God at the burning bush. So they meet at this spot. So this is significant, no doubt, to Moses. And his family comes back, bringing Jethro and the rest of his family back as well. So they meet there. So this is significant for Moses. He has these historical bookends in his life. God called him there, and now he's back there again. And so the Lord's dealing with Moses. All this is significant. All the puns are significant on the names and everything. By the way, the puns are right there in the Hebrew. So the point is, in any other language, the puns don't work. So this is one of the arguments that Hebrew was the original language, because these puns are in the Hebrew text, and their actual names and so on, and places that were given by the biblical writer of Hebrews, of the Old Testament rather, and of the Hebrew language, which is not found anywhere else. So we have hundreds of them running through. This cannot be reproduced in any other language. So I was over in Ireland. I had a good brother over there, Alexei. He's from Russia, so we bring the classes Russian Bible. It's English Bible. Of course, he knows biblical language, Greek and Hebrew Bible as well. So we bring all this. So I'd say we're looking at something in early part of Genesis. And so here's a definite word pun. In Hebrew, does this follow through in Russian? He said, no, it doesn't follow through. Well, what about this one? No. What about this one? No. No, and so on. So we weren't available in any other language, and that's true. So anyway, just an argument for Hebrew being the original language. So we accept that, and so on, but it's overlooked by all the linguistic scholars. They overlook this. Can't be the case. Of course, who would in this world, in this anti-Semitic world, would ever want to think the original language and the heavenly language is Hebrew? That cannot be the case. So I think some of them might be saying, if Hebrew is the language of heaven, if Hebrew is the language of heaven, I don't want to go there. I hope they're not saying that. But anyway, in their action, they are. So anyway. So our minds right now are scrambled, all right? Never noticed that. But when we meet the Lord in heaven, he'll unscramble these. At Pentecost, he unscrambled them temporarily, all right? Okay, so anyway, we have the family meets in 7 and 8. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him, and they asked each other their welfare, and they came into a tent. And Moses told the father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians of Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. So Jethro wants to hear about this, because remember, Moses sent his wife and two sons back to find Jethro, and probably as they're coming to meet, they're saying, yeah, the Lord did this, he did this, he did this. I want to hear this from Moses. So Moses is glad to tell that story. And we have the account given in the Bible. So Moses met with Jethro and did obeisance and kissed him, exchanging greetings and welfare details. They went to the tent of Moses and began to review the wonderful and miraculous victories of Jehovah. So Moses honored the Lord, we're told here. And before Jethro, and may have won him to Jehovah. So he's a descendant of Abraham, but we would conclude Jethro either was saved prior to this event or he's saved in this event. Because when he hears the account, he praises Jehovah. He gives a hallelujah chorus. He praises Jehovah. Those that read to count here in Exodus if they say, I don't believe this, as the critics do. They're not going to sing, they're not going to be saying praise the Lord at all. So this is a response of somebody who believes the accounts. Anyway, we look here, and including the 10 plagues. So notice Moses probably went, and this probably was a long discussion, a long time talking about that. Let me tell you about the 10 plagues and the Exodus, the details here. And then the Red Sea crossing. Maybe we'd love to hear that. And the death of Pharaoh and his elite army. And the hardships and complaining in the wilderness. After we got out, these Jews, they complained about no water, no food, and so on and so forth. And the battle of Amalekites and the ultimate victory through the raised hand of Moses. I wonder if, next line, Moses may even have revealed his five rejections of the Lord of Lord's will. Yeah, I fought the Lord at this point. He pushed by it. I fought the Lord at this point. And I rejected Lord here as far as being a leader. And I rejected him here. And finally rejected him here. I wonder if he said, yeah, before the Lord got a hold of my heart, I resisted him. Would we ever tell anybody about that? Are we too proud? No, what were we before we got saved? We were sinners. How many times did the Lord have to deal with us before we surrendered to him? And so Moses may have given that account. Moses may have revealed his resistance to the divine call from Jehovah to deliver him. So we're told here in Numbers 2:3, I cite the verse, Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So he's the meekest of the meek. Now we saw this morning, Lord Jesus Christ is obviously the most meek. But we see these accolades that go towards some of the men of the Bible here. And so we have Moses, the meekest, and Solomon, the wisest. And that we can go on, John the Baptist, the greatest. So we have these expressions here. But always, from a human point of view, meek or wise or great, there's someone always greater, always meeker, always wiser, always the greatest of the greatest. And that's the Lord, of course. So the Lord uses these individuals. So they're called this, prior to them writing, but this is what the Lord had them write. So Moses had to write about himself. That there in the, Numbers chapter 2. But nevertheless, the Lord used some of these outstanding men as examples for us. And when the Lord is all done with them, he can make these accolades towards them. All right, so anyway, then verses 9 through 12. And Jethro rejoiced. Scripture says, for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. So you think Jethro believed this? What, you mean the Lord dealt with in the plagues with the deities? You mean he did that? And then he delivered you and you went through the Red Sea? Really? Is this really true? You went through the Red Sea? And then he destroyed Pharaoh? Moses, are you making this up? No. He believed the account. We believe the account. This actually happened. We're Bible believers, not Bible deniers. So he rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hands of the Egyptians. And then notice in verse 10, and Jethro said, blessed be the Lord. Blessed there, hallelujah, basically. Blessed be the Lord. So as we read the commentary here, the great account of the miracles was an incredible testimony about the Lord, the Jethro, who rejoiced about the goodness which the Lord had done to his people. We when mankind is confronted with this biblical account, I've already said this, they either rejoice in the God of the Bible or they reject the God of the Bible. So the critics of the Bible say with the 10 plagues, no, these are just natural phenomena. They just happen to happen at that time. No, this is all of the Lord. And other falsities relative to all this. So we rejoice, not reject the God of the Bible. Amazed and believing, Jethro gave a hallelujah, or blessed be the Lord, response. Jethro gave a believing restatement in chiastic form. So we notice this in what we have here in verse 10. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. And so he says, and now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And so he indicates this. The Lord delivered them from the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of the Egyptians. So blessed be the Lord who hath delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And he says that in the tail end of verse 10, from under the hand of the Egyptians, and in between, hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh and out of the hand of the Egyptians. So you have delivered out of the Egyptians, delivered out of the Egyptians, and in the middle piece out from Pharaoh. And so here he has a chiastic structure built in one verse. So you look for these things, repetition, focus in all of this. So then Jethro gave a stunning testimony. We see as well in verse 11, now he says, now I know that the Lord Jehovah, is greater than all the gods, for in the thing where with they dealt proudly, he was above them. So he makes this statement there now. So either confirming his previous faith or affirming his new faith, one or the other. But we conclude Jethro was at this point certainly a believer. So we see the impact of Moses and what the Lord did through Moses. So Moses led them against his will, but the Lord used him and brought them into this place. And now Jethro is highly impressed, and he either confirms or affirms his faith in Jehovah. He knew that Jehovah was greater than the Egyptian deities, in whom the Egyptians were proud and now defeated and decimated. So he decimated the deities 10 times over. So there are 10 deities, 10 times, 10 plagues. Anyway, decimated them. But we see the impact of this man's testimony. And then Jethro provided animals, we're told, for offerings. So in verse 12, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses. So Jethro provided animals for offerings and sacrifices to God, so that Moses and now Aaron could praise the common Lord among their elders. He was not offering sacrifices to a pagan deity. He's offering them to the Lord here. And so he wasn't acting as a high priest over some pagan religion of the Midianites, for instance. He was bringing animals so that all of them could participate in sacrifices in their communal meal of fellowship before God. The mention of elders here led to the recommendation of Jethro in the next few verses. So next time we'll see his recommendation, and his recommendation has to do with delegating the leadership. Because Moses is taking on so much on himself. He's got several million people, and he's the leader of them. I think it would be wise for him to delegate some of the leadership over several million people. So Jethro makes the observation. So Jethro was benefited from Moses for his confirmed salvation, and Moses benefits from this father-in-law for the value of now delegating to the elders and helping them out. So we see the values in all of this. We can have a testimony that benefits other people. So Brother Darrell gave a testimony to strangers that were here, or visitors here today, about how he turned from sin to the Lord and his conversion. So, you know, it's a living testimony. Something's happened. Why is he here? He's saying, and so on. And likewise, we can have a testimony that impresses upon other people. Wait a minute. What are they saying here? I've never heard that before. They've been saved and converted and born again. They have assurance of heaven. What's this all about? And even among people who are a Christian in name only. Well, I got baptized when I was a baby, and so I'm a church member here, but I've never had a conversion experience. Well, that could be a testimony that challenges them. We don't become Christians by baptism. We become Christians by a born-again experience. And so it's valuable to give that. So Moses benefited Jethro spiritually, and Jethro benefited him from a organizational point of view. And so both benefited each other. Our Father, we pray you bless us now. I thank you for the passage at hand and the truths that we see here, various truths that the Lord gives us in various areas and about different things. We pray that you'll help us to take to heart these truths and put to practice what you've given us here. Bless each one, work in the hearts and lives, we pray, and bless our efforts now as we conclude the service, we pray in Jesus' name.